begin. And we'll see if we can cough and sneeze our way through this morning hour. If the Lord will give good grace and keep it from us. So Psalm 96 and verse 9 often is called the key word or the key phrase or verse in the book of Psalms. I'm sure different ones have different verses they see as key verses and words, but I'll use this one. Psalm 96 and verse 9 and brings forth, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of what? Holiness, His holiness. Tremble before Him," you know, "all the earth." We don't do much of that, do we? Trembling before the Lord. Don't know if we ever did. Or we just forgot. I remember times that I indeed trembled with regard to the things and the truths of the Word of God. Greatly affected my heart and life. And then we get, it seems, some periods of time when it don't really, it's just what we do kind of thing, you know. Just a Sunday fill-in, perhaps. Worship the Lord. Many books are written on worship. I think the book of Psalms is, the books of Psalms are the, there's the whole workings with regard to worship. Let me mention just a few things. Perhaps some you know, and they'll just be a good remembrance or a good review for you to think upon this morning hour. But, the book of Psalms, these 150, most written before Israel went into exile over a period of 1,000 years. Just a marvelous thing to think upon and see the way in which God takes His Word over such a long period of time and puts it together in the unit and the beautifulness of what it is as a psalm book for the nation of Israel. I also think a history book for the nation of Israel. It commences, as you know, with God blessing man. Blessed is the man. 1:1. And then it concludes with that Psalm 150, with man blessing God. And we're thinking on Psalm 103 this morning, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Book of Psalms can be summarized, I think, in this way. Probably much more could be added, but it is God's inspired songbook, and these songs are not for unbelievers. While I have stood at the hospital bed of many an individual or at the graveside of many an individual, and I've read from the Psalms with regard to words of encouragement and words of warning, I'm reminded that the book of Psalms is a songbook for believers. Yes, it has sections and warnings and the things of life with regard to those who have not believed the Word of God, have not believed in God, but it's a great, it is the book for believers. We like it so well because it deals with the everyday stuff of our lives, whether it be doubts or troubles, fears, longings, hopes, whether it be death or joys, great sorrows. Indeed, it's a great gold mine of worship to dig into and have and think in mind. And I often think of Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me." Wow. Supposed to worship the Lord and love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind, our whole being and person. And here Psalm 103 brings that out for us to be reminded of it. I think the book of Psalms myself is one of the greatest prophetic books in the Bible. If you want to know what Christ felt, what He saw, what He was thinking as He hung on the cross, you read the Psalms. My. The early church would use the Psalms as their hymn book. And we have many hymns written with regard to the Psalms that we sing. And it's good that we do that. We probably wouldn't be the greatest at singing through some of the psalms. They would sound a little difficult for us to sing through. And yet they make the best material with regard to songs that we might have. Whole psalms were often learned by heart. You've learned some whole psalms, right? By heart? Sure. The first one I learned was what I thought at that time was a crabby old Sunday school teacher. She wouldn't even let me. Actually, it was in vacation Bible school. And the 23rd Psalm was the series of lessons for the week of vacation Bible school. And they'd have this little time, you know, go outside and get some activity. But I wasn't allowed to, because I was so slow in learning to memorize the psalm. But at the end of the week, I knew it. I could quote it with the rest. And it's one of those that I still have, what, today. I could stand up, say it. I've used it, again, to many a service and delight with regard to it. When growing up in the farming community, our evening service was at 8 o'clock at night. The farmers could get done, be there. And, of course, it made for some late evening sometimes because after the service, the choir would practice. And at one time in a series of the days I was at the church, I was not saved till I was a teenager, came to know Christ by an Easter cantata, a musical that was sung. God used it to bring me to himself. But I recall on some Sunday nights, the church would have some challenges with each other, and we're going to quote some verses. You memorize them, you can stand up and say what you have. The church divided into a couple of teams, and the folks would stand up and quote a verse, and then it got so they were quoting two or three verses, and then it got so up to 7, 8, 9 of them, then it came one Sunday night. Young lady got up who I was in school with. She said, Psalm 119. She had all 176 verses perfect. So everyone goes, what's the use, you know? But it was fun. It was glory. It wasn't much of a service after that. That was the service, and that was grand and glorious. Well, how much can we quote and know? I would encourage us to get to know the 103rd, Bless the Lord, O my soul. What's going on in life? We all have so many things filled in with our lives. During the last 6 years, my wife and I have had the ministry of taking care of her dad, who just passed away in October at the age of 96. Lived with us 6 years. Sharp man. Knew not Christ. Man attending church majority of his life. A leader in a church. Some time ago, in fact, it was on our 40th wedding anniversary, I gave my father-in-law a Bible. He was going to Florida. He'd go down for a couple of months in the winter when he was able to. Wasn't in recent years. I said, Dad, 40 years ago, I asked something of you. I asked for your hand of your daughter in marriage. So I said, now 40 years later, I'm asking something else of you. Would you take this Bible and this Bible study book, and when you're in Florida, would you spend some time reading it and do some of the things in the book? And yeah, I'll do that. He said when he opened up that Christmas package, which was when I gave it to him, he says, I was shocked. No one had ever given him a Bible. Took it with him, and when he got back, of course, one said, oh, did you read it? Were you able to do it? And he says, you know, I started reading it. And I did a little bit of thoughts of that first section of the Bible study, and I read a little bit. And I stopped and I closed it up and I put it away. He said, you know why? He says, you have to believe that by faith. I said, yeah.
You got the whole lesson. And to believe it by faith. And I can't, he said.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, the Psalms here were often quoted by Jewish folks at the beginning of the day. Great for us. We might have some devotional times or times we spend in the Word or something we listen to on the way to work to think on through the things of the Word of God. Great way to start today. Great way that many meals were started with a psalm or ended with a psalm as well. And nearly 50 of them, nearly 50 psalms are quoted in the New Testament dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read a couple of things. We'll get into the psalm just a little bit to get it, I trust, to work in our hearts and then to work out of our hearts into everyday life. People are to be observed in the Psalms as you read through them as a people speaking to God. So I always enjoyed the 23rd Psalm. It's a sheep talking to the good shepherd, you know. The Lord is my shepherd. As we observe them as that of this is being spoken to God. Where we're at, bless the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. Oh, my soul. It means that these psalms can easily be used as a test of our hearts, of our lives, of whether or not our prayers and our praise are acceptable to God. I'm not worried about if they're acceptable to someone else listening. It's God that we want them to be acceptable to. Sometimes with regard to prayer and praise, our concern is more of what someone else is thinking of our prayer and our praise when it's insignificant to what they are thinking. The Psalms make a clear distinction between what is right and what is wrong, what is holy and what is not. All the relationships of life are exposed in the Psalms. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Psalms, you can get to know him very well. In the Psalms. Today, we're thinking of this little bit of time with Psalm 103. And I call this just a pure note of praise. Many of the Psalms are prayers, and they're great and glorious. Enjoy them. This is one that's just praise. There's no pray here, no prayer here. There's not an asking for anything herein. There's not, in a sense, a complaining of some things going on in life by way of the writing that is going on. It's just pure praise unto the Lord. It's not a wanting. I want something. It's not that. Indeed, Song of the Saints. I think the praise of a pardoned people. I'm going to read it again. We've read it once. One of my sons, me and Barb's sons, is pastoring in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. If you're missing snow, he has it up to here and then some. He says over his head as he walks from his house over to the church. So if you're lonely for snow, there's some around. He didn't get this far. I tell him, praise the Lord for what you got.
But in his ministry, he's picked up on a little idea that he has and others have developed for thinking through and remembering the scriptures. And one of them, to me, when I first heard it, was a little bit, wow, that's way beyond, that's too much. It was to take like Psalm 103 and read it through seven times. No, I told him, actually the setup was to read through a book seven times. And I said, I don't think that'll take place. Can you imagine sitting down reading through the book of Genesis seven times at one sitting? No. That would take too many cups of coffee, right? Though it would do us good. It would do us so well. It would strengthen us so much. And those that have developed or gotten into that program of sitting down and reading through a book or a chapter over and over have grown rich in Christ. So I read it here, Psalm 103. Be reminded, if you would, please, the first five verses are that of an individual. While this is a song, and I think, bless the Lord, all my soul, is like the chorus with regard to it. It's a song that individual thinking with regard to what he is placing before the Lord of eternity. In verse 6 down on, almost to the end of it, down to verse 19, is with regard to a group, a gathering, several together, and then it ends with a universal praise, as we read this morning. I have the New King James Version in hand. I trust it offends no one. If it does, tell me later, and I'll switch the next time I preach at it's what I have that is before me right now. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all. Notice, watch for the word all. Make note of it, think of it somehow down through the psalm. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We are such great forgetters. I have remembered our anniversary this year and the right number of them. Now, if I were to ask you, men, your anniversary, would you do well this morning in giving the date, the time, information? Wife and I were married in the middle of a snowstorm in New England. So well remembered. But we are great forgetters. So his phrase in verse 2 at the second part of it is, and forget not all his benefits. Now he's going to list some of those benefits that you probably are forgetting, or they aren't maybe right at the top of the list on your mind. He says, number one, who forgives all your iniquities. What a benefit. Who heals all your diseases. It's probably speaking of our sin. Who redeems you from destruction. It means hell, the grave, the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Food usually comes right to our mind. We think of that, but it's probably not referring to food. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Every day is fresh and new in the Lord. When I was a kid and brought up on a dairy farm, but it didn't support the growing family, I was number four. I was and the kids being brought home, my sister was first, and you know, when mom goes and she brings home one boy, and two boys, three boys, and she wasn't a happy camper. I was number four. By the way, five more followed me in the home. And so the Holstein cows didn't put out enough milk to keep us going. So Dad would work in the woods in the winter. And then he set up a sawmill, and he'd do sawing for other folks in the community. And we seldom had any wood ahead of time, burned wood. And so it would often come home on the top of a load of logs, all these big log chunks of wood, always so wonderful in the winter. And I would climb up there at about the age of 10, 11, and throw them off, but roll them off, and pick them up sometimes. And I'd split them, usually in the dark in the winter, and then lug them in the house. And you know, a boy has to lug all he can lug. You know, it isn't wise in his carrying of a few. He thinks he'll get it done quicker by carrying a great big bundle of logs or sticks. And our big old furnace, it didn't take little sticks. It took the big stuff. In the middle of the house, there was one big furnace with one radiator that heated the house. And so the whole family, at least we were together every night because you would just stand over the furnace, the heat, or eat an apple there or something. And anyway, I'd lug it in. This was a bundle. You know, you get a great big bundle, all you can carry, and you try to figure out how to get the latches open from out of the back woodshed, up the steps and into the kitchen and across the kitchen, which I dropped many a bundle, and then down the wood, rickety wooden stairs into the basement. Had one light bulb hanging that might be working and might not, and across the dirt floor and over by for the furnace. But I had bundles. This is a great bundle. You know, there never was a greater bundle mentioned or put together than right here. But he says, forget not all his benefits, this great bundle that we have. Forgives, he heals, redeems, and crowns, satisfies, renews. It's the whole picture of salvation. The whole message is brought together there for us, a bundle brought here. We were ministering, pastoring in what is called Belfast, New York, First Baptist Church, the early years of our ministry. And out to go calling one day and walking down the little street, and up a side street, a lady was laying on the sidewalk. And I approached, tried to help her a little bit, but had broken a hip. And as I approached, she was quoting Psalm 103, was going through over her lips. And she says, that's all. She didn't say, I'm hurt, I need help. She says, that's my favorite psalm, 103. My daughter's gone for help. And so I got to know her, and I got to know the psalm well. As she often repeated, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. We'll go back to our reading at verse 6. I'll mention a few things as I read. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. We look around and say, well, it don't look much like it. The end hasn't come yet. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. There you have all of the first five books of the Bible brought together. So you want to know the ways of God, you read the first five books of the Bible. And out of it, you pull forth all that is thereafter in the things of God. The Lord is merciful. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful. It's not saying, well, I'm going to prove it, or here's an argument. It's just his fact. He's merciful, period.
The Lord is merciful and gracious. Praise his name, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, which is a repeated thought through the psalm, is mercy. He will not always chide or strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. We would pause and say, we might think sometimes, oh, God don't know about my sin and what's going on. God's merciful. God is slow to anger. We best be very thankful that he is. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. If he had, not one of us would be here today. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Praise his name. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that who fear him. And probably verse 12 is a well-known verse or statement. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins or transgressions, iniquities from us. The verse reminds us that the Lord forgets what we remember, and he remembers what we forget. The Lord remembers that we are frail. We're so weak. We're so limited. But we are so prone to remember our sin. The Lord does not. It's under the blood of Christ. It's cared for. Praise the Lord, we bear it no more. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. As a father pities his children, verse 13, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, our makeup. He remembers that we are dust. He knows how weak we are. Anytime, any day of the week, we kind of get thinking we are something. You need to remember that verse and know we're nothing. Or a handful of dirt, you know. Now, being a farmer and a farmer background, I appreciate the dirt. Good dirt, but to think the Lord of eternity made this pile of dirt into someone in his image, to bear his image. Our hearts are humbled when we think on that. We'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 15 says, as for man, his days are like grass. I've hit that 70. I've received what the Lord has promised. Now great days of grace for what might be ahead. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. And as the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Wow. What he's doing is reminding us it's all about the Lord. It's not about us. No matter how great or significant on earth we might be. Keeps us in our place. 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. In recent days, we have seen the political powers of our nation flexing their muscle, doing their thing, spending our money to have many a nice thing going on. But there is no government on this earth, and there is no president or king on this earth. But they're there, but by the hand of God. And I believe it's still true that the nation gets the leadership it deserves. While much is being made with regard to a new president, we need to remember who's in charge. And while things appear one way, they certainly can be much another. We don't put our trust in kings, but in the Lord God of heaven. Verse 20 begins the concluding section of this psalm. The first section is a summons to praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Each individual singing and praising it forth and thinking that way. Verses 6 through 19 are the subject of praise. The Lord is all about his character, the character of the Lord, and the presenting forth of his redemption of sinners. Now verse 20. Begins and has for the conclusion of it for us as well. It's a summons for the whole world to praise the Lord. It's a reminder of verses in Philippians in chapter 17. Now one day every knee will bow. And so he says at the end of it, bless the Lord, you as angels, who excel in strength, who do his ways or word, heeding the voice of the Lord or of the word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places, all creation, and all his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hard to say that in difficult times, isn't it? Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a challenge to say. Hard to say in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. Because there are many things that would come that we would find it hard to get those words out that would happen to us in our lives. But a pure word of praise recognizes that the Lord God of heaven and earth is Lord over all. No matter where you were born, my dad always told me, he found me under a rock out in the barnyard. That didn't put me on too high a pedestal. And for each of the kids, he said, he had a spot where he said, well, I found you one day for this spot or that. Brought you in. And God has made man in his image, as well brought forth in the little video we saw today, and as well we ought to remember this day, a sanctity of life, and this group of Life Matters, which used to be Baptist for Life, has been in recent years, as it should, putting a greater emphasis upon preserving life of the elderly. We're thankful for those that spend extra energy and effort. But it takes me back to our Sunday school class this morning hour and a reminder to us that we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, because he has created us. And we are but in his hand, his creatures. And this psalm reminds us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to think highly of the one who has made us. And to the one we will give an account to one day. And while it is good to greatly honor everyone because all are made in the image of God, we must always remember it is bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He has redeemed us. If this morning hour you have not been redeemed, have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to consider him, the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, the sufferings and the shame. He did it for sinners at his Father's bidding. Man of sorrows, what a name. Praise the Lord for him. Someone ready to take over, or I'm going to pray? Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you for the few things from your word today. We pray it has encouraged us to be always ready to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Help me not to forget. Out of the great depths of sin, that you took me, and help me to remember that every day you are near me. And with these dear folks gathered here, pressing on for you, we pray for their shepherd. You would encourage him and his wife, minister to them. Give them strength for the day, and give them good insight into their care. And Father, might you, the one who is able to raise up the pastor, do that for your name's sake. We pray for any among us who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you, by your mercy and grace, would open up their hearts to believe that there is no other name under heaven whereby they must be saved. Give redemption as pleases you, and we'll thank you, Father, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.